I can't wait to get home and heat up that peach pie and put a little vanilla ice cream on it.
The Ira Kaufman podcast is on, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the water damage whisperer. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. Ira, you're looking very sharp today, very fit.
Thank you, sir. And Steve, I think we got to start this podcast with how you spent your early afternoon. It sounds like you had a hell of a time.
Yeah. We'll reference that. It was really quite a day, quite a happening in Tampa. It was, and we got a lot to talk about on this.
A lot of big shots showed up too, Steve.
A lot of big shots, Bucks related big shots, but a lot to get to on this podcast, Ira. You promised everyone, and I have some names for you. You promised that you wanted to talk about backup quarterback in this episode because Todd Bowles said in no uncertain terms at the combine they're looking for a backup quarterback.
I also made a vow in my latest column that you're going to remind me of on draft night should the Bucks screw me and make the wrong pick.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Your pledge to Bucks fans. Kind of a strange pledge.
Yeah,
but
that came out of nowhere, Steve. I don't normally do that stuff.
I think you're safe, but I'm not really sure. And, of course, if you want...
You know, Light might do that to spite me, Steve. Light, Jason Light might pick that guy just to spite me and see me in a clown outfit.
I don't think so. He thinks you're a clown anyway. Florida's Elite Restoration is there for all Bucks fans 24/7. If you have a home or a property, you have to know who to call. If you have mold damage, storm damage, flood damage, water damage, fire damage, any kind of issues at your property, you call them, you get a free inspection. You mention Ira or Joe Bucks fan when you first call. And if you need their service, if you need to sign them up to restore your property, maybe even go all the way and rebuild something for you, you get $500 back. Money for your deductible or cash back. They've got all that experience, Ira, in the insurance game, decades working on that side. And Josh Martin and his people are now passing that knowledge for really
And time matters. You call them first, Steve. You call them first.
Yeah, you do it right away. You get a free inspection. And Josh Martin and his team at Florida's Elite Restoration, now they've got another 10 years of experience helping customers and consumers and business owners. 5-star Google reviews across the board. Check them out. Put them in your disaster plan. That's the best thing you can do this week so you're prepared, so you
and
know
they,
who to
they
call.
They know every trick that the insurance companies try to pull.
Yeah, and they've got all the great technology. So when they come to your property, they're not just looking around with a flashlight. They've got everything they need to know about moisture, mold, all sorts of things. We've used them. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. So, Ira, very cool. On Thursday afternoon, big event in Tampa. So I pull up. SWAT team is there.
Valet parking, right?
Valet parking, if you wanted it. The Marine unit, Tampa Marine unit, police, fire, all sorts of luminaries from Tampa, all sorts of big wigs in the business community. Mike Allstott, Martine Grammatica.
Mayor Castor,
Brian Ford from the Bucks. And it was the 65th anniversary of Bill Curry Ford, family-owned dealership, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. And the story, Ira, of Bill Curry Ford, family-owned, when Bill Curry Jr. bought the only existing Tampa dealership for Ford in 1960, moved his family from Georgia, had been a Ford owner, a dealership owner that he bought for $1,800 in Georgia, his original. And the whole story of the customer service and the community and how they've built the dealership. And
this is the original site in Tampa that they bought 65 years ago?
The original site was on Nebraska Avenue. On Florida Avenue. And then they took over the current site in 1973. So they've been there 53 years. And now it's all state of the art. 2 years ago, they opened the biggest service department in Florida, which has since expanded. And
so, Steve, at that point, Tampa Stadium had been up, but the Bucks hadn't started play yet in 73.
Correct. Really just a lot of amazing stories told about impact in the community. And, Bill Curry Ford has the contracts. They have the trust of the city of Tampa for all those first responder vehicles. They service them all at a moment's notice, and fire truck, whatever it is. And, it's just really amazing that Bucks fans can head to the dealership, get the Ira Kaufman discount, get treated like family. Curry family owns and operates the dealership and our guy, Sean Sullivan, the general manager, he runs the ship. You can reach out to him directly for help. And
biggest service department in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, mobile service at your home. It's all there, but you know, the family-owned really makes a difference. We've said that many times, but I got a good taste of it for a couple hours.
And they deal with a lot of people at One Buck Place. A lot of people.
Awful lot. Jennifer Curry told the story about how when early on in their relationship with the Bucks, every player got a car back in the 80s.
Wow.
Yeah, which was a very, very interesting story as well. So anyway, you're shopping for a vehicle, BillCurryFord.com. Truck month is here. BillCurryFord.com. So, Ira, you promised the world on your Ira Kaufman podcast, available on iHeartRadio and many other platforms, you promised them that after the combine, and Todd Bowles said at the combine, backup quarterback's a priority. You like that. You love backup quarterbacks. You believe the Bucks, given who Baker Mayfield is, need to invest in the position. You said you had plenty to say on that. What do we need to know?
Well, the first thing basically the only thing I got to say is you got to do better than Teddy Bridgewater. I'm sorry. That ship has sailed.
Or Kyle Trask.
Or Kyle Trask. And I don't want Kyle Trask back either. Now, look, I might have said a priority, but Lee, when you list the priorities, that's number five. That's number five. It's
okay.
Not number one,
okay,
or two. You know, it's not ahead of pass rusher. It ain't ahead of linebacker. It ain't ahead of a running back.
You mean a running back that catches balls in the flat for a 3-yard
gain? If Otten goes, tight end's a top priority.
Yeah.
So this is a critical year because, Lee, I'll say it again, this is the year that determines which way the Glazers go.
Yeah.
Do the Glazers spend money or do the Glazers retreat and start all over again, so to speak?
Rebuild.
And maybe look ahead towards that quarterback-rich draft. God forbid they go 5-12. There's going to be a house cleaning.
Yeah.
You know, will Light survive? I think he would. Head coach certainly would not. Zach Robinson's out at that point. So you got to give yourself the best chance. And they've been very, very lucky under center in terms of can that guy start every game? Yes, they can.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean Mayfield was healthy for 17 games.
Bingo.
But he played, Lee.
Yes.
He played.
He answered the bell.
Other guys are going down. Look at Mahomes. You know, now we don't even know if he's going to be ready in September. Joe Burrow's gone through all these things. A lot of quarterbacks go through these things. The Bucs have been very lucky.
You could argue maybe Mayfield shouldn't have been on the field.
Yes, you could, if they had somebody better than Bridgewater. They might have sat him down for a week. In fact, didn't I ask Bowles that? And didn't
so.
Bowles indicate that the last game, maybe before the bye, he thought it may be...
That was New Orleans, and Mayfield was hurt.
I thought
there's no doubt about
that.
It.
He didn't say that we may have sat him if we had a better backup quarterback. Look, they acknowledged it.
He was hurt going into that game.
He was.
Acknowledged levels, sort of levels of he was more banged up before the bye and the levels of how banged up he was, but they didn't say that.
Here's one of my main points, Lee. You don't let Mayfield make the decision.
Thank you.
You don't.
You let the adults make the decision.
Because Mayfield's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
That got him in trouble.
Yeah, in Cleveland, too.
And that's the way he's wired.
Yeah.
And he's not going to change.
And that's the beauty of him, but it also backfires on you at times.
Yeah. It's not like he's worried that the backup's going to take his job for a game. He's not worried about that.
No. But
should he. He's an ultra-competitor, Steve, and he doesn't want to sit.
But that is how it is across the NFL. See, this is what I don't understand about that. Because you name a team, I've never heard of a starter who can go and the head coach sits him down and says, you can't play. You can't lead the team. I don't care that you can go.
What if he's impaired?
But it just doesn't happen. We watched this with Jameis Winston. Bad ankle, other issues, shoulder, Dirk Cutter, he's playing. This happens over and over and over again.
Couldn't it be different if you have a viable backup? A viable backup?
The Bucks believed they had a viable backup at the time. Certainly Fitzgerald was better than, Fitzpatrick was better than guys in Trask or Bridgewater. But I'm just saying, forget about the Bucks. Across the league, if a starter can go, it's sort of the unwritten rule that he gets on the field.
Lee, I'm almost at the point that I'll take a Joe Flacco.
I would.
Give me Joe Flacco.
Absolutely.
I'll take him. Bridgewater's not coming back, right?
I don't think so, but I'm going to give Steve credit here. He wrote about it. Now, I got to preface this. We're not talking starting quarterback. We're talking about a guy come off the bench a game or two and give you some good play. Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy GQ.
I don't think that's crazy, Lee.
No, I like
that's
Jimmy GQ.
Now, I don't want to spend a lot of money, Steve. I don't want to spend a lot of money on a
what
backup.
Did Jimmy GQ have, like, $2 million contract last year?
Well, a good backup costs money. Yeah, that's just the bottom line. Look, Garoppolo is an interesting fit because he's been with the Rams a couple of years.
Bingo.
So he knows the
Played for Robinson?
He knows the McVay system. Robinson was there, and there
he's,
you go.
He's no threat to Mayfield.
No threat.
Now, Steve, here's my point. He's no threat
according to who? According to you. But
I don't think Mayfield's looking at him as a threat.
Anybody with common sense.
Okay, so you're telling me that Baker Mayfield, with no contract for 2027, sees Jimmy Garoppolo there, who goes in for two games for him, plays well, and Todd Bowles' job is on the line, and Mayfield isn't like, get this guy out of here.
They go back to Baker Mayfield.
I'm saying that I believe with no future contract, Baker Mayfield would view that guy as a threat. Doesn't mean he wouldn't
I'm not worried about Baker Mayfield's feelings. I'm trying to win football games. Here's the simplest way I can say it, Lee. I want an experienced guy who can play. Now, Trask is inexperienced. He don't count.
Among other things.
Bridgewater's experienced, but he can't play.
Yeah.
I want an experienced guy who can play.
Now, would Joe Flacco, would that threaten Mayfield too?
Is Mayfield's ego that weak?
Yeah, I don't.
I think you're underestimating
that. No, I'm living in the moment, Ira. The moment of if he has no contract for 2027, if the Bucs are 6-4 and Mayfield is out for a couple games and Garoppolo thrives, yeah, he's going to feel threatened. He's going to be watching some other guy running the offense well.
You think he's going to wig out because of Jimmy Garoppolo?
I never said wig out. You said he won't feel threatened. I'd say yes, he would if he doesn't have a contract.
Threatened in what terms? That they're going to keep Garoppolo when Mayfield's ready to play?
If he's hot, they may keep the hot hand. You never know.
Why didn't that happen with Teddy Bridgewater?
I don't have a problem with Mayfield's feelings, but don't say there's no way he would feel threatened. Yeah, I think he might if it shook out that way.
He's got a lot of confidence in himself.
I agree. What about
Kyler Murray? Now, Kyler Murray is...
No, that's a different animal. That he could be threatened.
He ain't going to back up anybody.
No, he's looking to be a starter.
Yeah.
If he doesn't get a starting gig, he'll go
play baseball.
He's going to get a starting gig. Now, I'm not a Kyler Murray fan, but there's worse. He doesn't run anymore. I think that's part of the problem. He's not running like he used to.
Well, he blew his knee out a year or two ago,
and
right?
That was a big part of his game, Steve. A big part of it.
Well, he's still quite mobile. You know, sure, there's a lot of talk that he'll go to Minnesota, and the Cardinals are going to eat all his contract. So wherever he goes, he's going to...
That's right.
The new team is going to...
Yeah, somebody's going to take him.
The new team's going to pay $1 million.
Yeah, yeah.
And just like Russell Wilson was. But he knows Mayfield. They're buddies. Kyle.
But he's not coming to be a backup. Lee's right. He wants to be a starter. He's going to get a starting job.
Yeah,
most likely.
Steve, do you disagree that they need a better backup?
No.
Or you don't care about it?
I'm all for a better backup. I mean, it's possible, depending on what happens in Arizona, that Jacoby Brissett might spring loose. And he played pretty well last year.
He did.
And he's a quality backup.
I don't want to go 0-3 when my starter goes down.
Well, I'd be more scared of Jacoby Brissett than I would Kyler Murray if I was Mayfield.
Steve, I don't want to go 0-3.
You like Mariota? He's done some. He's been better as a backup the last year or two.
What's Kyle Trask doing? I'm not a Mariota guy at all.
I'm not a Mariota guy. I'm not. You threw out Jameis Winston's name.
No, I just asked if the situation arose, would they ever consider bringing him back from a management standpoint? And you said not really.
I think the Glazers have moved on.
Devin White, would you bring him back?
No, I think he's a problem.
Okay.
I think he's a problem.
Now, Ira, you had some intel.
He's not a Buck man, Lee. Not a Buck man.
You had some intel last year that the Bucks were actually thinking of that, but it was quashed internally last year. That there were at least some forces in the organization that were thinking
forces.
About it. And he ended up going to the Raiders, but they were thinking about it last year.
That forces.
I think they were desperate. They're kind of desperate right now.
Yeah.
They are. But there's some free agents out there, Lee. There's some.
Provided they grab them.
There's a lot of them at inside linebackers. There are plenty of one-year options at inside linebacker, Ira.
And those guys don't make $25 million.
A guy I wrote about this week, EJ Speed. Now, he was with the Colts for years. Division II guy. Seems like a Jason Light kind of guy. I had lobbied for him to come to the team last year. He went to the Texans. Quite a defense there for $3.5 million. He started like 9 games. They rotated inside linebackers there. He played well. The fans want him back. But, you know, they don't want to pay him a lot because he's a sort of a part-time-ish guy. But he had 150 or so tackles with the Colts 2 years ago. He's obviously better than Savassier Dennis.
Can he cover?
Well.
Can he cover?
This chair over here is better than Savassier Dennis.
There's a lot of one-year linebackers out there.
There are.
Anywhere from $4 to $10 million that the Bucs can get a decent starter. In theory, we could go through names, but they're out there. And usually they're out there every year.
No question about it. You know, Maybe it's not a high priority position, Lee. I think it
inside
should be.
Inside linebacker?
Yeah, inside linebacker. I almost wish the Bucs won 5-12 last year and would have had a shot at Sonny Styles this year. I like that guy.
He's very good.
I like that guy. And not just because of his combine. He's got production. He's got production. I think that guy's going to be great. I do.
So, Ira, we've got a lot to get into. More angles with Mike Evans. There have been changes on the NFL landscape.
Don't tell me his agent's been yakking again.
Well, his
somebody put a muzzle on that guy.
His agent's always yakking. He's going to be yakking all the way till the final whistle.
High volume, Steve. High volume. High volume.
Targets, yeah, targets, targets. But we got a lot to get to, Ira. Free agency, we're right there. We're on the cusp. Bucks fans on the edge of their seats. A lot of nonsense going on.
Will Light be aggressive? Will Light be aggressive?
I think he will be to a degree, but I also think most Bucks fans won't view re-signing Mike Evans as being aggressive. Now, I don't understand why. I do understand why. But in reality, if you have a solid receiving core like they do and you go sign a big-name receiver, that's being very aggressive. That's putting an offensive stamp on this team that no other team in the NFL could probably say they have. I think it is aggressive to go get Evans. And I hope Bucks fans respect that because I think that's what's going to happen.
You know, it's aggressively go make a pitch for Trey Hendrickson. That's aggressive. That's aggressive.
They can do both. There's a lot of manipulation they can do. You know, we mentioned this previously, but a lot of fans don't realize they can play the game with these void years for Mike Evans. They can sign him for 1 year or whatever contract they put on him. They can extend 4 years worth of mystery money down the road. So, you know what? If he gets $25 million a year for 2 years and his agent is kind of putting it out there that he wants a 2-year deal for sure, they can sprinkle that all the way into 2031. So they got room.
Lee, the problem with the high-profile free agents like a Hendrickson,
money.
You might be in a bidding war. That's rough. You know, the Bears come in, they put a price tag on Hendrickson that's out of sight.
The Hendrickson thing is interesting. He could easily have stayed with the Bengals and got decent money.
Who the hell wants to stay with that organization?
I agree. You know, he lives in Florida. Through Adam Schefter, he apparently wants to move back to Florida, wants to play for the Bucks.
Why wouldn't Jacksonville be interested in him?
Cap. They don't
have ways to maneuver. There's ways to maneuver.
I agree.
Mike Greenberg's not the only guy in the world that can handle contracts.
This is the way I'm looking at it. There's no doubt you need an edge rusher. It's embarrassing. It's infuriating if you're a fan watching this. Like, how come other teams can fix this and this team can't? And you got one of the best out there. Granted, he's 31. Granted, he was hurt last year, but when he did play, he was good. Saying through a proxy, he wants to play for the Bucks at a position you need more than I need a beer on a Friday in July. And if you don't try to take advantage of that, shame.
You mean at least take your shot.
You don't take advantage of that. Shame on the Bucks. Shame on the Bucks. You have the biggest crater on your roster and a guy who's perfect to solve this, and he wants to play for you, and you don't make inroads, you don't try.
Can't be scared because Reddick didn't work out.
Oh,
Steve.
I think you can be scared.
Wrong pitch.
Look, here's how I look at it, Ira Lee. He's coming off hernia surgery. He missed half the season. He's coming off serious surgery, and he's flawed because of that. He's flawed. Just like Max Crosby's coming off surgery. He's flawed.
Can't you get the medical reports?
Of course you can get the medical reports. Doesn't mean that he's been tested yet. He didn't come back last year, Trey Hendrickson. He just had the surgery. He's ended his year. I think you got to be a little bit scared about that. I look at a guy like Bradley Chubb, who's had injuries in his career, no question, multiple knee injuries. But he played all 17 games last year, and he played well. I'd rather go that route. I don't like the gambling on the injured guys. It's tough because it's a lot of money.
That's very fair. And you said, you know, these guys are flawed. And you're right. You know what's even more flawed? The friggin' Bucks edge rush.
But you can go for the healthy guys. That's what I'm saying. You've got Boye Mafe out there, talented younger guy.
Von Miller?
With Seattle. Von Miller's old, but he's been healthy. Played all last year, 8.5 sacks.
You're trying to shop at the dollar store.
No, I want the healthy
guy. You want to shop at the dollar store.
Why can't I have a healthy guy?
Because my guy's better. Guy's a better player. He's better.
You're an unhealthy guy.
Hendrickson's better than Bradley Chubb. I'm sorry. He's better.
Yeah.
And he's better than the guy that I can't pronounce his name that you just said.
Mafe.
When he's healthy, the guy doesn't have less than 13.5 sacks, Lee. He doesn't have less than that.
This decade, he has 74.5 sacks.
What makes you think this hernia operation is going to sideline this guy? He can't come back from a hernia operation?
I'm not saying he can't come back. I'm saying it's more of a gamble. He's flawed.
If I kick you in the nuts right now, You take care of it, and 6 months later, you're good to go.
I'll be back on the Joe Buck Smash Show next week.
Lee, is Hendrickson better than these guys?
When healthy, yeah. I mean, Steve brings up a fair point, but still, David Walker's your answer? A guy who has not finished a padded practice.
I'm worried about Bradley Chubb being Haason Reddick, not Hendrickson being Haason.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Very easy to say that, but Haason Reddick had issues everywhere he went. In his career, he had some issues.
Why'd
with
you
coaches.
Give him $14 million?
Why did Philly get rid of him? Well, he goes to gets traded to the Jets. I don't want to play there.
I'll just throw out something that will rattle you, Steve. How many games did Reddick play? Nine?
No.
Last year?
Yeah.
No.
No, like 12, 13.
Okay. Now, I'm not saying you ought to bring him back and fall to your knees. I'm not saying.
Don't say it, Lee.
Yeah, I'm not saying he was not a disappointment. But you know what? He doubled his total over the previous season.
Nah, come on, Lee.
He did.
Come on,
he
Lee.
Did.
Lee, come on. You're better than that.
He went from one sack to 2.5.
It's a low bar.
I know. But still, he doubled his numbers.
But
that's progress.
They gambled on a guy who had bad film from the previous year. Now,
I'm not ripping white for that, by the way. I applaud him for trying.
Yeah.
He tried.
If I have any qualms about Hendrickson's health, I'm not spending that kind of money. I'm with you on that. I got to be convinced.
Well, here's something about you and spending money. I got to read this.
What about Max Crosby, though? What about Max Crosby?
Well, it's going to cost you capital. Hendrickson will cost you money.
Well, I don't even like the Max Crosby thing because the guy's got knee issues.
Mm-hmm. When you got leg issues, that's not
good. I'm certainly not giving up two number ones. I'm not doing that for a million years.
And
I'm not doing it.
FYI, he turns 29 in August.
That I'm not doing.
I got to read this. In Ira's column this week on JoeBucksFan.com, he was talking about the offensive line, and I agree with Ira. Offensive line, if healthy, is damn good. And here's what Ira wrote, and I think Ira's starting to understand why mock drafts drive me nuts. Schlock drafts, I call them. Here's Ira's quote. One mock draft from CBS Sports has the Bucks selecting offensive lineman from Utah in the opening round. If that happens, I'll wear a clown outfit on my next visit to One Buck Palace. Where do you get a clown outfit?
I'll go to a costume place. I'll find one.
I might join you. That's ridiculous.
That's absurd. Now, somebody might say, well, wait a minute. They took a wide receiver last year.
Receiver can play.
Yeah, yeah.
Where are they going to put this guy?
No guy that you draft at 15 is going to start ahead of Cody Mark. Mark's a very good player. Well, so that's not going to happen.
Well,
now, I'm not saying you don't take one in the fourth round, but you don't take one at number 15.
Absolutely, yes.
All right, well, let's since this whole thing is hypothetical, suppose the Raiders, who are going to draft a quarterback number one, they obviously want to build an offensive line around him, and they don't have a great offensive line. Suppose they come to the Bucks with a creative offer that sends Luke Getteke to the Raiders and part of a package that brings back Max Crosby to the Bucks.
That's different.
Now you're also going to have to give up your first-round pick and Getteke.
Well, you don't know that. You don't know. It could be Getteke and two twos or something like that.
Well, here's the trick. There's no hole right now. You're talking about if there's a hole.
I want to create a hole by getting rid of Getteke? I don't want to do that.
Well, would you trade Getteke for Max Crosby? That's a question.
The Raiders aren't going to do that. They're not going to accept that. They're looking for two number ones, Lee. They're not taking Luke Getteke. They want two number ones.
But Getteke's more valuable, in theory, than two number ones. No, I'm not saying total. But if you give one number one and Getteke's an established good player, and they got a rookie quarterback.
Bingo, that's what Steve's talking about. They need offensive linemen more. They have a lot invested in a running back who, behind a rotten line, didn't do anything. Now they're going to have Fernando Mendoza, which is even more critically, have offensive line. I see what Steve's getting at.
But Steve, my point is, if you give up a one in Getteke, how are you going to fill Getteke's spot without a first round pick?
You're going to count
on a second round pick to be your starting ranked tackle.
Well, he is a second round pick,
but he's a proven stud.
Yes,
you could make that draft pick next year in 2027.
That I'm not doing. I got to save that 27 draft pick in case things go off the rails this year. That's what a smart general manager would do.
You look ahead.
You don't give up that 27 pick. Suppose Mayfield goes south. Suppose the team goes south. You got to have that pick, Lee.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
If you're going to start all over again, that's a value pick.
Totally agree.
I'm not dumping that, Steve.
And not only that, let's say things don't go haywire, but it's the same situation. Another, hovering around 500, and the Bucks pick 16th or 17th. With all those quarterbacks, you can trade down. You'll get a haul.
I'm just trying to get you in that clown suit.
You're trying to dump Luke Getteke. I don't want to dump him. You're mad that he had that terrible game, whatever that game was.
So, Carolina?
I don't know what
he had, like, four penalties?
I don't know what he was doing. You know, there were times when I thought he was a notch below Worf's. I mean, a notch below.
I thought he was going to be a Pro Bowler this year.
So the Crosby thing, I'm starting to sour on it, Lee. Especially if the Raiders are going to hold, ask for a king's ransom. I might give you a pauper's ransom. I ain't giving you a king's ransom.
It's somewhat goofy.
A princess ransom?
You know, I said this a month ago. The whole thing is somewhat goofy because Yaya Diaby is in a contract year coming up. And he's in line. If he, let's say he just has 8.5 sacks this year, he's going to be a $20 million a year pass rusher because that's what young guys who are productive,
that's what they get. I'd be tempted to keep him.
The Bucs would want to keep him, but no team has bookend, extraordinary edge rushers at that price other than the Texans have that. But
what the Bucs have with Shaq and JPP.
They had that. The Bucs had that.
Would Diaby command $20 million on a free agent market? Would he?
In today's market, he would. Yeah, sure.
He doesn't miss much time.
The big guys get 30, and the lesser next tier gets 20. But
well,
my point
Lee,
is,
when it comes to a pass rush, you got to pay.
Yeah.
You got to pay unless you keep drafting them and developing them, and you have waves like we saw with Seattle. So,
but it's a black hole for light at this point in terms of drafting the right pass rush. It's a black hole.
Well, I'm more bulls than light, but. You're not wrong in that it's a black hole for the organization because, you know, you think about it. Leroy Selvin in 1976, that's the last guy they drafted.
Is that the only elite pass rusher the Bucs have ever drafted?
Yes, drafted.
Leroy Selvin?
Yep, drafted.
That's 50 years ago.
Yep.
That's incredible. It's as bad as not signing a drafted quarterback to a second contract.
Thank you very much, yes.
That's two amazing things about this franchise, Lee. Amazing. And they got two Super Bowls.
Sage, we still have plenty to get to about Mike Evans because there's some angles there.
You can't stop talking about number 13.
Well, it's the biggest.
Fans don't want to quit talking about 13.
It's the biggest thing we've seen in a while because let's just think about if he did leave. Bucs fans haven't experienced anything like this since Warren Sapp and John Lynch left after the 2003 season. That's two generations ago. And, you know, now Bucs fans, if Mike Evans leaves, you know, it's much easier to follow your favorite player
Wait
to a new team.
Wait a minute, you're forgetting about Jordan Whitehead over there, Stevie. He's one of the all-timers.
Now, Simeon Rice went to the Colts, but everybody knew
his career was over.
He was washed up by then. Yeah. But if Evans leaves, this will be the biggest thing we've seen in a long time.
Allstott didn't play for another team. Yeah, you're right. You're right, I understand.
Absolute crisis situation for Bucs fans if Mike Evans pick a team.
Hold on. I'm going to set us up for the next segment here, Stevie. I'm not nearly as interested in what he's done since 2014 as I am interested in what he's going to do in the next 2 or 3 years. You can't get hung up on the legacy.
Oh, okay.
You got to get hung up on what's he going to be going forward. He didn't have a big year when he was healthy. He had one great game. He caught 30 balls, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Played half a year.
So hung up on the legacy like the Bucs were with Chris Godwin? We believe in what he's going to do for us with his trashed ankle?
He's not as old as Evans.
No,
he's
but they were old. Still hung up on the legacy. Chris Godwin.
Here's a legacy for you, Ira. His last 2 years, the Bucs are 4-8 without Evans.
That's a fair point, Lee. It's a fair point.
Ugly point.
Yeah, it's ugly.
There's a lot to it. The fans are on the edge of their seats.
I can't give him $50 million for 2 years.
Why not?
I can't do it.
That's not unfair.
We'll dive further into it, Ira, to get your breaking point here. We started arguing, and
it's a friendly argument, Steve.
Well, it's friendly, but it's getting to that time. You know, the bewitching hour is coming here, and it could get unfriendly. Hopefully it doesn't. We all want Mike back. Everybody has different terms. We'll get to that. But Bill Curry Ford, Ira, they just celebrated their 65th anniversary. They have got so many cars, so many trucks. It's truck month, and they've got 0% financing, and they've got the Joe Bucks fan discount, which is available on their website, Bill Curry Ford. You just reach out to Sean Sullivan, the general manager, and they've got incredible inventory. This is the Tampa first family of Ford, Bill Curry Ford. Still family owned, still family operated, and we love them. We can't say enough about them. Don't worry, drive Curry, shop now, BillCurryFord.com. And again, 0% financing is back, and that's as good as it gets when you're buying a new vehicle. So, Ira, Mike Evans, you were saying you're straining, you've got pain in your face talking about paying Mike Evans $25 million a year. Now, Chris Godwin's making $22. Why didn't anybody strain and have pain last year when that happened and Godwin couldn't even walk? Well, why are we so scared to pay Mike Evans $25 million? Why don't you like that? You don't think he can play up to that contract is what you're saying? He can't be a $25 million receiver?
He's got more wear on the tires than Godwin. A lot more. Because Godwin's missed a lot of time with injuries. And I'm hoping Godwin comes back to the old Chris Godwin. Because, Lee, a couple of years ago before he got hurt, he was sensational.
Mm-hmm.
He might have been the best receiver in football through 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not an exaggeration. The guy was on pace to catch like 125 balls.
While Evans hasn't had the injuries, Godwin has. You know, Godwin's had a lot of leg injuries. Those add up. So I see what Steve's saying, that you can make an argument probably Godwin is lesser than Evans because all those leg injuries.
What I thought was very interesting, and you and Steve are in lockstep on this. I want you to school me a little bit.
Jimmy Garoppolo?
Because you guys are more in touch with Buck Nation than I am. You guys are very, very, you know, you got a conduit with Buck Nation. Steve, I used the word before we were on, came back, cataclysmic. If Mike Evans plays in a different uniform, Buck fans will go absolutely bananas. Why do you say that?
It's the big three. It'll be Todd Bowles' fault because everything's Todd Bowles' fault, and because fans will think, well, if the team was a winner last year like it should have been, and that's Bowles' fault, Mike Evans would still be here. Number two, they'll blame Jason Light for not signing Evans to a multi-year deal longer than 2 years, 2 years ago. Mike Evans sat at the podium telling everybody, I want to be a Buck for life. The Buccaneers.
So a deal that would have made him a Buck
for life. Instead of 2 years, make it four. What was the big deal? No. Okay. Jason Light blew it, essentially, they'll say. And they'll blame the Glazers because they'll say, Mike had a number. You should have hit it. You were too cheap. Now we got to watch Zion McCollum and all these other guys because you wouldn't pay Mike Evans.
And, Steve, and they'll bring up the line from the Glazers in the past, which is, We don't lose players that we want to keep. We don't lose players at free agency and let them go, the ones that we want to keep. And they would say that they've been exposed in this case.
Well, I will cite something else from that wonderful documentary produced by Trent Cooper that people need to go to Amazon and watch, Raise the Flags.
Great entertainment.
Joel Glazer sat there, I assume unprovoked, and you could see he was painful recalling that, you know, maybe I could have given Antonio Brown a little bit more money.
You're right.
He was kind of bent out of shape about that.
You're right.
And he eventually melted down, and that may have caused it or may have had an indirect effect.
Unprovoked.
Yeah.
Unprovoked, he said that. Yes, you're right.
So, you know, you apply that to Evans. Okay, give him a couple extra million.
That was back when the Bucks had the I am not that man philosophy with Antonio Brown as a signing. I'll tell you a real quick story. Someone who was on the sideline in 2021, just before the Antonio Brown meltdown, a couple of weeks before, when the Bucks were not guaranteeing certain money to Brown, and he wanted money and extras, and they wouldn't give it to him, and that's what Lee was referencing, part of it. And he was playing well, and he caught a ball on the sidelines right by Jason Light, standing on the sidelines, and just ripped Light a new one, basically,
wow,
saying, you know, trash-talking Light. Saying, yeah, look at this, you know, and, you know, you blank, 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 you know. So that's how crazy it was.
That was on his mind right in the middle of the game.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But cataclysmic, you brought up a good word.
I did.
I think Bucks fans will melt down. We have not experienced this since 2003, after that season.
2004.
Yeah, after that 2003 season.
Yeah.
Bucks wanted to bring back Warren Sapp, allegedly.
Two Hall of Famers move on to other teams.
Supposedly, Gruden didn't make a call, and Sapp got nervous. He's with the Raiders.
Lynch, they say, your next problem, you're not going to play.
And Sapp could still play. He still had a 10-sack season
in
Oakland. And John Lynch went on to the Broncos.
And made the Pro Bowl four times.
Four times.
Yes, he did.
So we haven't seen that since. And now we live in a day and age where fans can follow Mike Evans and watch social media and see everything he's doing in practice.
And what he does in the community.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
And absolutely lose their minds. Absolutely lose their minds.
You know what this all tells me, Lee? He might be the second most popular player in Buck history.
Wow.
Behind Mike Allstott. Is that possible? Allstott's number one, in my opinion.
Where would you put Leroy Salmon?
Behind Allstott. He's always been number one.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I never really thought about Allstott was more popular than Salmon.
Evans could be number two in my book, the way I see it.
More than Levante?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Because he's an offensive player?
Yeah, There's no way to quantify it.
I'll tell you how you quantify it. You just said there'll be a total meltdown of Buck Nation.
Yeah.
A complete meltdown.
He's beloved. He's always loved the fans in a more outgoing way.
He's always been a team guy. Always.
Yeah.
Always.
What would create more havoc with the fans? Evans leaving or the Bucks not addressing the edge rush? You know, Hendrickson, for example.
Evans leaving. You can address the edge rush with two middle-of-the-road, one-year deal edge rush guys.
Middle-of-the-road.
They will be upgrades, right?
You and I could be upgrades.
But the bar is so low that at least fans will see improvement, like, well, hey, this guy's okay, and man, we got...
Redick was an improvement, and they screamed.
He was no improvement.
Oh, they had who did he replace?
Tryon Chienka.
Yeah.
He wasn't better than...
He didn't have better numbers than
JTS?
No way. Well, I know at one time he was top 10 in pressures when he got hurt.
Stop trying to defend Redick.
Hey, I'm not saying Redick was any good, but I thought he brought something to the table.
He looked good dropping back in coverage. He looked sharp.
Yeah, they'll break down.
Wait a minute. Break down to the point of affecting ticket sales? Season ticket sales, perhaps? People that are on the fence about season tickets?
Well, it's hard to quantify that because a lot of people jumped off because Todd Bowles is back.
Yep.
So I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know.
So this will be a double shot. It's a double shot.
Here's the thing. Mike Evans leaving makes the team worse.
True.
End of story. His presence on the field opens things up for other players, and he's still a darn good player, even if you think, man.
I'm not going to say they're as good without Mike Evans. I'm not going to say
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So what have you accomplished? You lost Mike Evans. It's still an entertainment product, right? Fans out
Some
there.
Some people don't think so.
Yeah. There's plenty of fans out there who would say to you, look, you guys aren't going to the Super Bowl anyway. Could you just let me watch Mike Evans and love my guy and my team?
What if he just wants to leave? Like,
yeah, you can't put a gun to his head.
If it's not a money issue.
Well, if that happens,
Then you'll blame Bowles for not having a better team.
Well, I was just going to say, I hope Todd Bowles has security wherever he goes when he goes to Wendy's or buys his Chips Ahoy.
Wendy's.
So it all somehow is going to come back to Bulls.
It'll be a nightmare. A really sad nightmare. And Lee and I have committed to covering Mike Evans every single day if he leaves the team. Because there'll be a lot of fans that want to know what's going on. And you know what? They're going to be paying attention.
Lee's flying to Houston for the Texans opening.
Fans would pay attention to what he's doing. So we might as well be the ones to share that information.
You don't feel as passionate about Lavonte, David. Because you think Lavonte's either going to retire or be back with
Lavonte
the Bucks.
Lavonte has said publicly, I'd only play for the Bucks. So,
okay. All right. So it's a different situation.
Yeah. Is there a Blacks barbecue in Houston?
Yes.
But you've said, Ira, that you're not going to pay top, top, top dollar to Mike Evans. You have a limit. And a lot of Bucks fans do.
I said it for two reasons, Lee. I like the Buck receiving core, even without Evans. I like it. It's better with Evans, but I like it. The cupboard's not going to be bare without Evans. It's not going to be bare. And
nope.
I think you can use the money on defense. So you say cataclysmic. That's the word of the night. Cataclysmic.
Brought that word up, but I think it fits. I hope it doesn't happen. I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. And you know what?
Can the Glazers stop this from happening?
Buffalo just made the big trade for a receiver, so Evans isn't going to end up there. The Chiefs, I think, tipped their hand that, look, this isn't our year next year. They traded their top cornerback. That's not something you do.
25 years old.
That's not something you do when you're a Chiefs team that finished 5 games behind the Chargers and 8 games behind the Broncos. You don't trade one of your best players and say, yeah, we got this, you know, for next year. They're in a retool, which is fine.
Yeah.
You know, so I think they're off the table for Evans. Word out of Houston, there have been some rumors that you know, they like their young receiving
core. But Evans will have suitors. Evans has suitors.
He'll have somebody.
He'll have suitors.
I'm not as down in Kansas City as Steve is. I know what he's saying.
Can the Glazers come in and fix this thing, Lee, if they wanted to?
That is such a loaded question.
Cash.
That is such a loaded question that I don't want to get into because I'd piss too many people off.
I do. Ira, free agency, Monday. Fans will be very excited sitting around. A lot of people, I wonder, even going to take the day off. Just to sit there at noon and see what's going on. But, of course, if you're not taking the day off, we're there for you at JoeBucksFan.com.
And when do you think you're going to know something about Mike Evans' future?
Could be any time. Could be before. Now,
yes,
he can re-sign prior to free agency. Of course, his agent already has an idea of what's out there. They could say, hey, Bucks, if you don't want it to go to Monday, we'll take this much on Sunday. We're back. So any time. But who knows what's really going to happen if Evans drags it on. Then, you know, the Bucks might be like, well, you know, we got other guys to sign, and, you know.
I don't think Evans is going to drag on.
No.
I think something's going to happen next week.
What happened 2 years ago? Did he sign fairly quick?
Yeah, he did. Anyway, Ira, we got more to talk about with Evans and the Glazers, because they're an X factor here for sure. But Bucks fans have been focused on some other free agents. Now, the Bucks, there were some reports that they're not going to tender restricted free agents. Christian Izian, who's, we've seen him at nickel, we've seen him at safety. We even saw him in a pinch at cornerback for half a game or so, and he did okay. And undrafted free agent Sean Tucker, running back, who the Bucks always say they love him, he's got to get more touches, and then they don't give him the ball. So, but Jason Light at the Combine said right in front of me and Lee that we want to bring back Sean Tucker. He said it with enthusiasm. So, but they're not tendering him. That tells me, I'm going to speculate, that the tenders are only 1 year. I think they've come to Tucker and say, hey, we'll sign you for 2 years, $5 million, and if you want to take your chances in a one-year deal somewhere else, another team, but we like you and we want to give you a two-year deal.
I'll start the conversation. If I had to bet, I think both of those guys would be on the Buck roster in 2026.
Tucker, yes, Izian, no.
I think Izian, no? I think Bose likes Izian.
He likes Izian, but is he going to start him?
No.
That's it. That's what I mean.
Quality depth.
At what cost, number one. Number two, I'm sure Izian wants to start, and I bet there's teams out there that would start him.
I think both will be back, Steve.
Well, I agree with Lee. I think Izian would like a chance to compete for a starting job. He's shown he could play nickel. He's shown he can play safety. He's not a great player. He's not a superior athlete.
Versatile.
That's why he wasn't drafted, but he can play. And if some team comes to him and says, hey, yeah, you can compete at nickel, Todd Bowles isn't going to tell him that.
Suppose Parrish moves to outside corner and he plugs Izian in a nickel.
Well, let's put it this way. If the Cardinals offer Izian, I don't know, you pick a number. Are the Bucks...
Has he done enough, Lee, to command a decent wage?
Decent wage as far as a starter or a backup? See, I think he could start for another team. I'm not trying to push him out. I love the guy. But players want to play, and he's not going to play here.
I want to keep Tyke Smith at safety with Winfield. I like that tandem.
That's possible. It's possible if they do that. I don't know they're going to do that.
Is another team going to look at Izian as a starter?
I think he would find a team that's would at least say to him, you can compete at safety. The Bucks aren't going to tell him that.
You don't think he couldn't start for the Jets or the Cardinals?
Yeah. And we don't know how Izian feels personally, right? Because in 2023, he was the starting nickel. And then the Bucks ran out and said, we don't want you as the starting nickel. We're drafting Tyke Smith.
Yeah.
Last year, Tyke Smith moves back to safety. They say, hell no, is he? And we got this rookie in there.
We got the rookie.
So, I mean, maybe he just wants to.
Yeah, maybe you're right, Steve.
Wants
a fresh look.
I think they got to bring Tucker back, Lee. Otherwise, you got a huge hole.
I will directly quote Jason Light from the Combine. He sat right across the table from me at your podcast. I asked him, is running back a need? Yes.
He's not a bad backup running back.
No, they like him, and Light was clear that he wants him. But they could have slapped a one-year, $3 million tender on him. But they didn't do that, or allegedly they're not going to do that. They could still do it by Wednesday at 4 o'clock.
Here's another little hint of what Light's plans are. When I asked him that question, he said yes. Then he followed up and he said, I'm surely not coming into training camp with only two running backs. I assume he was talking about Sean Tucker and Bucky.
This would be such a big issue for me if I didn't have any questions about Bucky Irving.
I'm with you, Ira.
That's a big part of this whole thing.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Well, I'm going to predict that Tucker gets a two-year deal. There's a lot of running backs on the free agent market this year, a lot. So
There are.
There's a lot of backs out there, and I'm going to predict Tucker gets 2 years, $5 million, $2.5 million a year. And it's a good situation for Tucker because of what you mentioned with Bucky. And he obviously, being in the running backs room, he knows all the dirty secrets that the fans don't know about Bucky Irving.
You got guys like Eddie N out there, Pacheco. I don't think he makes enough people miss Pacheco. I've seen him a lot.
But Mike Evans sets the direction here because they...
It always comes back to number 13.
Well, if they're prepared to pay him $25 million, they may be like, all right, well, that's not happening, but we'll take 18 of that million and invest it on offense. Maybe we go get a Tyler Algier. Who's going to cost us $5-6 million.
I like that Algier.
You know, they got to
like
spend the money somewhere. But, Ira, let's get back to the important question before we get out of here on WDAE. The Glazers, owners of the Bucks, they made themselves public in the wonderful Raise the Flags documentary. They became celebrities after being in hiding for decades.
They all came out on the documentary.
And, of course, a chunk of that documentary was devoted to Mike Evans and his record and what he means to the team.
That was a very emotional segment.
So the Glazers know they can buy Mike Evans. Are they going to do it? Are they going to do what it takes?
Now, got to say that one of the emotional highlights of the documentary was 2024 and not 2025 when he kept the streak going. The streak's over. So maybe that takes a little bit of luster out of this whole thing. The streak is not intact. You don't have that to hang your hat on now. The Glazers could fix this thing if they wanted to. They could make things right with Mike Evans. I don't think it's black and white. I think this is a tough one.
How much do you think Evans wants the defense to get beefed up?
Well,
he wants to see some evidence.
A lot, because he wants to go back to the Super Bowl. What's left for him? Go back to the Super Bowl.
So the Bucs don't do anything, relatively speaking, in free agency on defense the first couple days. Think that pushes Evans away?
I do. I don't think it's going to come down to dollars. I don't think it will. He's made a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now, he gives a lot of money back to the community. I'm a Mike Evans guy.
He's an Ira Kaufman guy. He's always looking
for you. He's looking for you all the time.
He's going to go to Cannes. Now, let me throw this out here.
Uh-oh.
And I don't want people driving off the road. He's not a sure first ballot Hall of Famer. That's nonsense. That is nonsense. Take it from somebody who's been doing this for
20
years.
I know you're doing it. Isn't that a little strong? I mean, I doubt
that
he is.
He's not Randy Moss. I'm sorry.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but isn't that a little strong saying there's no way in hell?
I didn't say no way in hell.
Oh, okay.
I said he's not a sure fire. Marvin Harrison waited 3 years. I'm not sure Evans had a better career than Marvin Harrison. I'm not sure.
No. Well, if Evans plays 2 more years, he could be a sure fire, depending on the numbers he puts up. He could be top 10 in a lot of categories. That makes you Larry Fitzgerald.
Well, you know, the Reggie Waynes of the world, he's been waiting 7 years. He can't get in. Torrey Holt, he's waiting 7 years. He can't get in. Is Evans a little better than those guys? Yeah.
So are the Glazers going to step in, or have they already stepped in and said, Jason, play the game, do what you got to do, let Evans feel respected, let him feel this and that, but we're going to hit the number because we want him on the team. Have they done that?
If they've done that, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Evans would have already signed. Mm. So I think this is a tough one. And, Steve, I'm not downplaying the emotion that's involved with Mike Evans in another uniform. I'm not downplaying that. But, Lee, you know the first obligation of a general manager is the long-term success of your franchise.
And your job.
And you got to decide how Evans fits in long-term. Mm-hmm. Long-term. The yawning problems on defense. And now you're talking about a receiver. It's one of the strengths of the team. Not as strong as the offensive line, but it's a strength. Mm-hmm. You know, running back's not a strength.
No.
Receiving is.
The way I look at it, I'll just sum it up this way. If the Bucs still think their Super Bowl window is open, I don't know that it is, but if they think that, they'll bring Evans back. Because if Evans leaves, that if it isn't closed, cracked open.
Lee, as long as they take care of the defense.
Then
the Super Bowl window's not open.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about that. But if you think you can make a Super Bowl run with a better defense, you don't let Evans walk.
So, Ira, look, this Evans situation
It's
going to come down to the wire, and I don't know if it's sticky, but it's not like what Lee just said. If you really believe that you have a shot to make noise in the playoffs, losing Mike Evans is going to make you worse.
If it wasn't sticky, he'd already have another one-year contract extension. He'd already have another one-year or two-year deal if it wasn't sticky. And he doesn't.
Well, we don't know exactly how Evans feels, but if he knows the Bucks want him, then he can play it down to the wire, try to get an extra $2 million. I mean, it's still $2 million.
I understand.
You know?
I understand. They might be saying goodbye to a franchise icon. That might happen. And you said the reverberations will be severe.
What a dark, dark day it would be. What a fail that would be, because they've said publicly they want him back. They've never waffled. We want him back.
Am I quoting the Glazers accurately when I said we don't lose people to free agency that we want to keep?
Well, they said that how many years ago? 15?
So, it was a long time ago.
You know, it's ancient history, but.
Okay. I'll tell you this. I don't want to write for another franchise. So you got me. I'm not going anywhere.
You think they end up being aggressive, though, to go get a starter at middle linebacker and an edge rusher of some caliber?
Yes. Yes, and I don't think Von Miller's gonna get it done. I don't think that's good enough. I know you say he gets 8.5 sacks or whatever. I want an every down pass rusher, not a third down pass rusher. I want an every down outside guy that's gonna put the quarterback on his ass, and that's what you want, Lee, on his ass.
Like Al Davis said, he must go down.
He must go down.
And he must go down hard.
And it served him very well. Served the Raiders very well.
I think they're going to draft an edge rusher. I do. If I had to bet, that's where I would bet.
You think one of those guys slip, like the Miami guy, Bain?
Where would you bet on what they draft? I would, just if I had some crystal ball, they'll make these moves in free agency, and they'll draft blank. I think it's going to be edge rusher in round one.
My crystal ball says Otten is not re-signed, and they draft the tight end at 15.
Ooh.
And sign some free agents for defense.
If Steve's right, and they draft an edge rusher at 15, I'll cry.
What a way to wrap this up.
What do you think they will draft, Lee? We're just throwing it
out. Oh, my gosh. I don't think you can discount tight end. And people, when I say that, they hit the ceiling. Look at the defense. Well, yeah. Look at the defense.
That could even blunt a little bit if they lose Mike Evans. It could blunt it a little bit.
It would help, certainly.
It would help.
Now, one guy went after Steve and I, but mostly me, just tore us apart. Like, name the time a team drafted a first-round tight end and they went to the Super Bowl.
I don't want to hear that nonsense. Who cares about that?
Well, look, if they don't sign Mike Evans, I think they get a much better chance they buy Trey Hendrickson, and then maybe they're looking at drafting the tight end. You could see that happen, but I wonder if Jason Light's a little bit gun shy after
I hope
Reddick.
Not.
OJ Howard.
I hope
after OJ
oh,
Howard.
After OJ Howard.
Oh, okay. I think you're gonna talk about Reddick.
No.
Now I can understand he was gun shy about Reddick because he went outside his comfort zone and he singed his hand. So that would not surprise
me. I'm talking, you know, OJ Howard drafted in 2017. Didn't really make it.
Here's some positions they ain't taking if they keep the
left tackle,
pick. Offensive line. This is just me.
Quarterback,
running back. If they draft a running back at 15, that means there's
Jeremiah
big
Love.
Problems with Bucky Irving.
No,
that's what it means.
No, it tells me that Jeremiah Love.
He's not going to be there.
Okay,
you
well
know
then
that.
They're not going to do it.
Right. O line, running back, defensive back. I don't think they're drafting.
Oh, really?
I don't think they're drafting. They've used so many picks on the defensive backs the last year. How many you want?
Okay, but
they got a young secondary.
You don't quit doing it if you swing and miss.
I'm not taking a corner. You're not taking a safety, so I'm not taking
no
a corner.
No safety, no.
I'm not taking a corner at 15. I'm not doing it. Not when you got to do the front seven, Steve. If you're going to draft defense, you do the front seven.
Yeah, they believe in the defensive back, so I don't think they would do
And
that.
Lee, with a better pass rush, it's going to help.
Yeah,
it's going to help.
No question.
You're saying they could draft a running back?
No, I just told you what I thought. I think the dust will settle, and they will end up with...
And I don't think they'd draft a receiver.
Draft an edge rusher.
I doubt it.
Not a receiver at 15.
No,
I
doubt
don't see it.
Even
without Mike Evans.
No, they're not drafting a receiver.
So, in other words, Ira, outside of tight end, they do not draft offense at 15.
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so. And the Glazers, they're going to tell the Glazers what they're doing. And if they say, hey, I think we're drafting a receiver. No, you're not.
Now, some fans will say, well, that was exactly what happened last year.
Yeah. But the defense wasn't so horrible
in
24.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Not this horrible.
I think they're going to sign a starting linebacker early in free agency. I do. I think that's on the board, starting inside linebacker, a guy who can actually tackle, and they'll go from there.
Bowles wants to save his job, Lee. I don't blame him.
Oh, I don't blame him.
He needs to save his job.
You don't
do that by drafting a wide receiver again.
Oh,
let me throw one more present, and then not drafting a quarterback.
Is it fair to say that often, I won't say always, but often fans don't factor in job security as a rationale for a draft pick or any move?
I think so. Yeah. You know, laser focused. And this best player available, that ain't going to work this year.
No, and I don't think, for the reasons Lee just said, job preservation, to a degree. That's why I think they don't sign Hendrickson, and I don't think they are really legit for Max Crosby. I don't think Jason Light's going to gamble on damaged goods when he thinks he can just get better doing other things that are less risky.
What if Bowles makes the case for either of those two guys?
I don't think Bowles has much power these days at one-buck plays.
Okay.
Do you?
All right.
Do you think he's got much power?
Well, Light's got more power, and should.
Now, I asked Bowles this at the combine, I wrote in your point blank. You shuffling your coaching staff, was that influenced from higher up the food chain? He said no. It's all him.
I think that's one of these, like, what am I supposed to say? The Glazers told me to do something. So something had to go. People had to go. And if it wasn't going to be Bowles, it was going to be his underlings.
Yeah, maybe they said it to Bowles like... Todd, we're going to meet on Wednesday. Let us know all the changes you're making.
Yeah.
You know, like wink, wink.
Nicely done,
I don't
Steve.
I don't know.
Nicely done.
Florida's EliteRestoration.com. They cover the whole Tampa Bay area and beyond across the state. Call them first. That's all we ask before you call your insurance company. Check out their 5-star Google reviews.
You're going to be glad you did.
And you'll be glad to be a Bill Curry Ford customer as well. BillCurryFord.com. Just check out all the March offers right on the website. Very easy to do. And reach out to Sean Sullivan, the GM. He's fired up for draft season, our draft guru. But he's there for you to give you the Ira Kaufman discount and any guidance you might need. Ira, what do you want to say to the good people?
I know exactly what I want to say. I can't wait to get home and heat up that peach pie and put a little vanilla ice cream on it, Lee. Thanks to you. And I will give a full report next time we meet.
All right.